Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Midrash portion of Reunion Roadmap. This is David Jones, and with me is fellow elder for B'nai Yosef of North America, Barry Phillips. Shalom, Barry.
Hey, David. Good to be back with you.
You know, speaking of being back with us, you've recently been on an amazing trip, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that today, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Well, you recently went home for the first time, right?
It's not for the first time. This was actually trip number four for me, but I had the privilege of spending about 15 days in the land of Israel.
Yeah. Sorry, Barry, I misspoke there, brother. I meant you saw things you hadn't seen before.
Well, yes. There, I was on a tour as well as a 3-day conference with the B'nai Yosef Congress. And the Congress had members. I counted about 8 different nations. Europe is well represented. Israel, Canada, U.S. And that was good. The highlight for me, not slamming the Congress at all, but the highlight for me was a tour that went as far south as Qumran Caves, Masada, Dead Sea. And then as far north as Tel Dan, up where the headwaters of the Don come through, where the altar that was in the north during the reign of Jeroboam was located. So got there up on the Golan. Of course, we spent a good bit of time in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. But the highlight for me, David, was the mountains of Ephraim. This particular trip was able to see such places as Ariel, Shiloh, where the temple stood, or the tabernacle temple hybrid stood during the days of Shemuel the prophet. Was there for 369 years.
Which is longer than either of the temples. Stood, correct? I mean, the tabernacle itself stood longer than either of the temples, if I'm thinking correctly.
There was, of course, during the days of Zerubbabel, the rebuilding and the return and the rebuilding of the temple. It stood in some form until it was remodeled under Herod. But that temple or tabernacle structure there at Shiloh was very significant. I'll make a quick point about that. Standing at Shiloh and looking at the ruins that were there, the rectangular plateau where the tabernacle temple structure would, and I keep saying that because it was a tabernacle, but it had wooden doors that were open. So they modified somehow the tabernacle of Moshe to some degree. So it was an interesting structure that was there, but it was in the land of Ephraim. Ephraim especially under the priesthood leadership of Eli, Pinchas and Hophni, it became corrupt. They lost the sense of set apartness. The tabernacle became a benefiting system to the priesthood and really to no one else. And they abused their status. They abused those who brought offerings. They seduced women that were there to worship and to pray. And it turned into something else. And so that whole opportunity for Ephraim to house, to host, if you will, for the nation of Israel, the very presence of Elohim, of the Shekinah, was lost and ultimately relocated to Jerusalem. Now, there's no need to throw jealous stones at Jerusalem. Ephraim had that opportunity and abused it.
Hey, Barry, that kind of makes me think a little bit about some of the things that are happening today. We, for the most part, have really lost our reverence for Elohim and his word. Now, thankfully, I think there's an awakening, if you want to put it that way, or renewal or revival or calling back, however you want to state it, that the word of Yah is being renewed to people, and his spirit is calling out and calling us back to him. But we're also fighting a real lack of respect for the Most High in our midst, especially here in America. And, you know, when we say we love Israel, I get a lot of people that say, why? And if you take beside the fact, like in Psalm 122, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they be secure who love you. Well, Sha'alu, it's not necessarily pray, it means to ask or to request. And in my mind, again, this is just a food for thought, my mind, we're praying for the peace in Jerusalem, but we're never truly going to have peace in Jerusalem until the Prince of Peace comes and restores it, puts it there.
And that's the way that I see that command to pray for he who is Tzar Shalom to come to Jerusalem. It's not just that we are praying for the tranquility and sense of calm and well-ordered structure for the city, but rather that he who is the wholeness, when we say shalom, it's more than those things. It's wholeness and completeness. It is right and proper function that brings the whole of a matter together. And so there is one who does that. When we're praying for the peace or the shalom of Yerushalayim, in my mind, we're asking, Father, send Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Shalom, Yeshua, to your city and bring right governmental structure that brings wholeness to that place.
That's a very good way to put it, you know. But again, we're talking about when we say we love Israel or Jerusalem or the Jewish people and all this, and we get the responses like, why? It saddens my heart. It breaks my heart because we see how people truly don't understand the scriptures and how we're told. I mean, people will say, like Romans 11, well, we're grafted in. Okay, grafted into what? You know, Ephesians chapter 2, you used to be Gentiles and separated from the commonwealth of Israel and separated from the covenants of that it had promise and all that, but now you've been brought near. Brought near to what? You know, it's we have this idea of, well, that's Israel over there, but we're not in Israel, so what relevance does it have to me? And I think we're starting to see some people waking up and saying, not only do I love Israel, but I am supposed to be in function as a part of Israel.
There is sadly this animosity, jealousy. You know, we see in the scriptures that Ephraim or the house of Israel should be provoking our brother Yehuda to jealousy. Well, it's the opposite way around in a lot of respects. So much so that, you know, I've heard of incidents. I thankfully haven't seen this, where people would intentionally, in praying or stating the Shema, would turn their back on Jerusalem out of angst or animosity. Wow. Or even anti-Semitism. I don't ask me to explain such a mindset. I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could even try. You're right. There are those, especially here in America, David, that would say, why all the concern for Israel? We're not in Israel. We live here. Here's my question. Are you a captive or an exile?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, are you, the way to answer that question is, do you see your children or grandchildren is only continuing in the lifestyle or society or location that you are currently in? Or do you have a hope and ambition, a drive to see them come to the kingdom and be restored back home to the land? If you are looking for the restoration, you're in exile. If not, then you are a captive who only will see your future generations as Americans.
But we don't know that we have a connection to the land.
That's our problem. We don't properly connect with the land. I don't know. Maybe I was ruined on my first trip, David. When Laura and I stepped off the plane and put our feet on the ground, something in that ground reached up and grabbed our hearts and has never let go. So I was smitten. And it was not just with the mystique or the uniqueness of the land. It wasn't just a mindset. I mean, I was a wreck. I walked through that place for 10 days in the year 2000 and wept everywhere I went. Just a week or two ago, I was standing back in the land and again felt this vital connection that the very soil and essence of that land was reaching up and grabbing me. I stood at a place where on a clear day, that proverbial clear day, you should be able to see three bodies of water. Was it the Dead Sea, the Kinneret, and the Mediterranean, I guess?
I think so, yeah.
Of course, you couldn't. It was too overcast or hazy.
Which is what Yah told Abraham, look around and look up and see all this will be I'm giving to you and your descendants. Makes sense that he would be in that spot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I stood there and stared at the mountain ranges in the valley in front of me. And I was just trying to literally drink it in. I didn't want to lose that moment. I didn't want to lose that vision. I took pictures, but I mean, David, I wanted to find a way. How do I reach out my arms and pull it all into my embrace? Because it was affecting me. And I realized this is my future. Now, I'm an American. I love America. I'm a 10th generation Virginian. My family's been in this nation for 13 generations. We go back to the Winthrop Fleet back in the 1630s. We're well entrenched in this nation, in this land, and in particular in this state. But there's something about Israel. My roots go deeper into Israel than anywhere else. So I'm committed to seeing the day that Yeshua comes to reign on this earth and that we enter into that kingdom. I don't understand. I struggle with the idea of why should I bother with Israel? Maybe you can clarify that for me. I don't get it.
No, I'm with you on it. I don't understand the other than Hasatan, you know, we have an adversary who wants us to look at everything that the Father desires for us as askew. And everything in the world is opposed to the kingdom of Yah. So it makes sense that it would happen. But why would that be among the people of Yahweh itself? It's hard. I think it's one of the things where we look at traditions and the things that we've been taught and a manner of we follow suit with where we've always known. Even reading scripture, we read it through the mindset that we're already established. Mm. And we need to learn how to see everything fresh, how to see everything new. You know, why should I bother with Israel? I mean, it's about the size of New Jersey. I mean, what's the big deal about this piece of land over there? Why all the fighting? Why all the conflict? Because Yahweh said that's where his people are supposed to be. That's where he placed his name. And that's where he called us to worship. So, well, Barry, you know, we're about out of time here.
Oh, my.
It just goes right through. We got about 20 seconds or so left. Do you have any final thoughts on the heart of Israel?
I heard the argument frequently, well, why should I be concerned with Yehuda when they don't believe in Messiah as we do? Their prayer is not even answered. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 18, because through him we both those that were far off and those who are near, have access to the Father by one Spirit. Yah loves his people, all of us.
Very well said, Barry. Well, guys, listen, we want to hear from you, your questions, comments, concerns, things you'd like to hear talked about on this program. So you can contact us at reunionroadmap@bnayyosefna.com. So until next time, shalom, everybody.
Shalom.